James Frank owned a manufacturing company. He'd started it in college when he was planning to go to medical school, built it for 20 years, had a wonderful wife, three teenage children, and global sales in the millions. But when two major customers suddenly went bankrupt, he discovered the perils of conventional business. Today, those perils are left far behind, and James Frank is building a very different kind of company. His team of independent associates is expanding across the continent. Frank discovered that developing a business of independent owners could not only be profitable, but also offer a level of security that business as usual would never provide. Here is James Frank.
I guess it's sort of like, there are three kinds of people in the world as far as leadership is concerned. There are people who make things happen, and there are people who watch things happen, and there are people who say, what happened? You know? If you're in this room, I commend you because you're making things happen. So, and what can I say that hasn't been said by John Maxwell in books and tapes and by the great leaders in this room? I guess what I thought I would probably do is just take a page from history and then maybe look at some of the things that happened in that and how they apply to our business and to leadership. Because I guess there's two ways you can learn. You can learn from personal experience or you can learn from other people's experience. Which one do you think is more cost effective? You know? I think I'd rather learn from some other people's. And I think the other thing about this is that leaders will develop strategies, and by doing that, the development of those strategies will allow people to actually control something that's happening in their destiny. And I think that's what leaders want to do. They want to control what's happening for themselves and their destiny. So out of ancient history, it's a story about a young lad who saw a void in leadership and decided he wanted to fill that void, and that's a lot like what we do. And it was created by a leader who moved on and left that void. And so the young lad decided he wanted to fill that void and to have his vision be taken out into the world. The time is about 333 BC. The young lad is 19 years old. His name was Alex of Macedonia. And later to be called Alexander the Great, one of the very, very few men to ever be called great during his lifetime. And certainly the youngest to ever be called the great. His father was killed, I believe, by a spear through his eye. So he decided that at the age of 19, he wanted to, in fact, conquer the world. Now, I don't know about you where you were at 19. It was not my vision. Especially when you talk about going to war with spears. It's, you know, you don't like fight and run away to come back and fight another day, you know. And, you know, when you took a spear, it was kind of final. And at 19, to say, you know what, I'm going to step up. I'm going to take the leadership. And I will, in fact, conquer the world. Now, you better have probably a big dream, I would think. You better have a big, big mission. Now, his vision was to take the Greek culture to the entire known world at that time. Well, that's quite an accomplishment to in fact know what the Greek culture was at that time and then want to take that to the world. But that was his vision. And in fact, when he was 16 years old, an oracle told him that he could live a long life with peace or a short life with glory. Also told him that he was invincible, so he figured, go for the glory. So at the age of 19, he took 20,000 men, put them on ships, and set out to conquer the world. He was a brilliant planner, brilliant statistician, and he had a lot of brilliant generals with him, and he never lost a battle. Never. Now, this began to go out across the world, and when he conquered a land, he would then give it back to the governors and allow them to in fact govern it, because he allowed them to use his system of culture and government in order to rule. Kind of like what we do, provide a system, right? And let people, in fact, control their own destiny and their world. And so now you have to understand, here is Alexander, and then there's this other guy out there. His name was Darius of Persia, and his head office was in Tehran. Okay, and so he started to hear, and he had one of the largest empire at the time, and he started to hear about this young upstart renegade at the edge of his kingdom, who was knocking on the doors and, you know, like taking his fiefdoms. He wasn't real pleased with that, and the word began to get out. Who was tougher, Darius or Alexander? And so he thought, well, I better put this down very quickly. He sent out 50,000 men against 20,000, and they were destroyed. Well, this got his attention. And so he realized that he had a problem on his hands, and then he decided that he would, in fact, amass an army to get rid of this challenge very, very quickly. So he sent out word, and he got all these different places that he controlled to send in armies. They all spoke different languages. There were different cultures, different backgrounds, and he amassed the largest army prior to World War II of 1,000,000 men. 1,000,000 men. Now, at this point, after 3 years of fighting and conquering, Alexander the Great had 50,000. So that's 20-1. Now, that's sort of like, take this wall right here, right? There's 1,000,000. Down there in the corner is 50,000. Now, do you think you might have an attitude if you were part of the 50,000? And if you were Darius, you'd probably have a different attitude. And so Darius felt that there was nothing that anybody could do. He was just going to go in and just wipe out this young upstart. He went out to a place called Gargamel outside of Arbela, and he leveled the playing field because his goal was to take his chariots out there. And if anyone had seen Gladiator or anything else, with these chariots, they had these big things that stuck out from the wheels, and they would just, you know, mow down people, and it intended to demoralize a few of the people who were left behind, right? So he leveled the playing field, and to bring in his chariots and give him a chance, he then sent the word out to Alexander, and he said, okay, tough guy, meet me at Gargamel, outside of Arbela, about 30 miles. And at that point, they thought it was going to take 7 days for Alexander the Great to reach there. He was there in 48 hours, and he was ready to fight. So he set up his men the next day, and everybody knew, like, you know, tomorrow we're going to go out. And he's preparing his men to go out, and his generals came in, and his generals said, sire, we'd like to know what is the game plan for tomorrow. And, you know, there are 1,000,000 people out there. Can you imagine a sea of lights, you know, of campfires? I mean, as far as you could see, right? There are over 400 accounts of this battle. And Alexander the Great said, well, the plan is very simple. We're going to win. And the general said, well, yes, sire, we understand that, and we understand your belief in that, but exactly how do you suppose we're going to do that, right? And he said, here is the plan. The plan is, you think there are 1,000,000 men out there. Here is the plan. That army is a huge army of individual armies. They only have a bit of a loyalty to Darius. We're not going to conquer 1,000,000 men. We're going to get Darius. That was their entire battle plan. Now, because he was a great statistician, and strategist, then he just made the decision that the next day they were going to kill Darius. And now, here was the thing. He told the generals, it's not important that you know this, it's important that every man knows this. Every fighting man had. So he always believed that the men should know, not the generals. Because he had to have not only the belief in the loyalty to himself, but a vision for the entire group. Okay? And so that word went out to the men. He said, tomorrow we are simply going to get Darius. Well, the next day, now you have to imagine this, there are 1,000,000 men out there, and they all line up in the morning, right? And then Alexander the Great lines up his men, not in a row, but in a triangle. And then he starts marching his men to the side. Now, Darius is in the background. He's going, what's going on? What are they doing? Well, sire, he's marching his men to the side. He said, well, we're not prepared for that. The chariots can't go in that rough area on the side. I mean, good grief, I haven't planned on that. And He said, well, then send in the chariots. Now, here's what Alexander did, because, and it's never been used since, as far as I know. We haven't had this situation. But, so what he did is, now, I can't draw this out, so you just have to imagine this. So what he did was he took his men, he put them into a triangle, and then as the chariots began to ride towards them, they had the big, tall shields, right? The metal shields, right? They dug the shields into the ground and formed a wall and then put spears sticking out between the shields, right? Now, the horses see a wall with bristling spears sticking out, right? Now, a man will charge a wall like that. Horses are a bit smarter. They have no intention of running into that. And so, the chariots just went down through and they started to turn because the horses weren't impressed with the idea of running into this, and they started to turn into each other, and the chariots began to tumble over and created a massive chaos, and then got around behind the group, and then with their archers, they just took out the people who were driving the chariots. Now, this word got back to Darius, and he said, well, what's going on? Well, sire, the chariots have been defeated. And he's going, what? The chariots have been defeated. And he said, well, then what's happening? And at that point of confusion, Alexander took control. As a leader, he said, now is my chance. And he took 6,000 of his most loyal veterans, important point there, the veterans, you're veterans in this room, you're the leaders. He took 6,000 of his veterans, and he said, the charge is now. Now, Alexander the Great rode a white horse, and wore black armor with a big white plume. And he was always out in front. And if you ever wanted to know where the battle was, you looked for the white horse with a white plume. Because as a leader, he was in front, not behind managing. And he led, and they went straight towards the camp of Darius, who was sitting in the back in his ivory tower. And he started to hear this, well, sire, they're coming. He said, what are they doing? Well, sire, they're coming directly at us. And he said, what? He said, well, they're coming right at our camp. And he said, well, this is not good. You must stop them. He said, well, sire, we've tried to stop them, but they're just cutting right through, because Alexander the Great realized he didn't have to take out the front row people. He just had to make, a wedge and go straight for the camp, which is exactly what he did. And so by this time, Darius is getting a bit nervous, and he realizes, he is coming straight for me. I better get out of here. So he got into his chariot, and he rode back to the castle for lunch. And, of course, his generals, they watched him, and they said, well, we wouldn't want him to do lunch by himself, so we better go along with him. And so they rode off behind him. Now, at this point, you can imagine all these other armies that are out there with different leaders and different languages and so forth, they start to get word that two things. One is that Darius, their leader, is gone. He's running, right? They also know the second point is, and that is that Alexander the Great never loses. Now, they put these two things together. Alexander the Great never loses, and Darius is running. We better get out of here now. And they begin to flee. Now, here are the numbers. At the end of the day, Alexander the Great had lost 1,132 men. Darius had lost 400,000. Staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering. And so now, what can we learn from that? Good story, isn't it? Lessons that maybe we can learn from that. Number one, well, he became, at the age of 22 years old, became the undefeated master of the known world at 22 years old. Did they get Darius? Yes, they got Darius. I didn't want to say that, but you have to listen to the tape. No. Number one is vision. Alexander the Great had a vision. And he had a sense of destiny to take that Greek culture to the world. And I think, let's just look at our mission and maybe some of our mission statements. Network 21, when you pull up that website, it says, where technology and opportunity meet. Now, whose opportunity is it? It's the individual's opportunity. Isn't that great? Certainly it's the team, but it's my opportunity. It's your opportunity as an individual. And when you get plugged into Quickstar, it's to be the best business opportunity in the world. And when you put those two together, it's the best opportunity, period, in the world. So you need to have a personal vision statement. Ken Christopher has worked with us to develop a personal mission statement. You own your own business. You better have a mission statement. Right? All companies have a mission statement. You usually see them on the walls and so forth. And they will all have a qualitative value to them. It will not be quantitative. It's not to make money. It's mostly to create a better world. So watch for those. And the second is to never let anyone steal that mission statement from you. That's your mission statement. And we say never let anyone steal your dream. The second point, major point of the lesson is succession. In other words, when Alexander the Great set that up, he allowed the people to rule their own governments afterwards. Very smart man. He took just a little bit of tax, and he was paid an override on all the volume and protection that he gave to them. I can understand that. And so, yeah, the key to it is, you know, I talk to so many people outside of this business, in traditional business, and one of the first questions I ask them as a consultant is, how do you expect to get out of business? Most people have no clue how to get out of business. They only have an idea how they're going to get into business. They never thought for a second, well, how do I get out of here? How do I retire? How do I pass this on? And so with our business, you're passing your business on through succession. As John Maxwell says, there is no success without succession. You're passing it on every time you pass the baton. Every time you go into a living room, every time you're sharing that preview, you're passing the baton. It's sort of like Molly and I always had a vision when we were building businesses to work yourself out of a job. Figure out how to do something, teach someone else how to do it, and move on. And that's exactly what we do. So duplicate your efforts. And the Network 21 system, for duplication, there is none finer. We have that already set up so that you can pass that on for succession, expanding your business around the world. And now with the E-Alliance, we'll have literally hundreds of thousands of friends all working together with us for free. Free is my favorite word. I like that word. I know it in multiple languages. So you have that opportunity. The third lesson we can get from it is a strategic plan. Alexander had a simple plan. We're going to win. Pretty simple. Now, he put that together, and he realized that he could use the chariot and that whole thing to because the armies were disjointed. And here was the other thing. He also knew that the men in Darius's army had loyalty, very thin loyalty, to Darius as a leader. His men had what? A loyalty to himself and also to a vision. You see the difference on how subtle but how powerful that is. When we're building our business, everyone has a loyalty to Network 21 and their line of sponsorship, but everyone has their own personal vision. Which do you think is going to be stronger? In the long term, the personal vision, because I'll tell you, I've traveled the world with this business, and you ask people what they're looking for, regardless of where they are, regardless of what language they speak, everyone wants tomorrow to be better than today and their family to be looked after. It's pretty simple. And so our business is ownership, and men will commit to their families far stronger than they'll commit to you. And that's why it's so important to help people dream. It's so important to find out what their vision is and to be able to help them do that. So I encourage you to put together a strategic plan for 2001. You know, Bob emailed a plan for that, and we followed that. I mean, it was brilliant, and because it's simple. It's just a very simple about five or six steps, right? And we just put together a binder. So we have our vitals for every month. We will track that every month. And here's what we need to do for strategic planning. And I learned this in business years and years and years ago. And it's great to see that Bob did that, because he obviously is a master of strategy himself. And that is, number one, figure out where you are right now. What are your vital signs today? Where were they at the end of the year? Because as far as I'm concerned, this is begin again time for leaders. It's always begin again time. Right? And so figure out where you are and put those into present time vital signs. So number two is to figure out what got you here. In terms of vital signs, what was successful? What didn't work in order to increase your vital signs or improve on those vital signs? And I also encourage you, Molly and I always take time before the new year to sit down and write down all the things that we were grateful for the previous year. Not only will it humble you, but it will do your self-esteem a great value because you realize all the things you've accomplished. And it is fantastic what it's done for us. Number three, figure out where you're going this year. That's probably, you know, pretty critical. And make a decision. I read recently that decision, the word decision, means to cut off all other possibilities. Now, think about that for a second. The word decision means to cut off all other possibilities. We say decisions are made at weekends. Do you ever notice that those decisions are stronger than other decisions that people make? Why? It's because they cut off all other possibilities. So make a decision what your goal is, and it, you know, probably needs to be money-wise as well as anything else, because that's what you're trying to put together for your own financial future. I mean, people get started because they want financial protection for their future, so it better be at least have some money component to that. And then as Mitch Salas says, you know, begin to, how are you going to get there? Point four, step four is, how are you going to get there? You've decided where you are, you've decided what's gotten you to this point, you've decided where you want to go, and then how are you going to get there? And it's brilliant because of the Network 21 system. You know, just break it down, as Mitch Salas talks about, do a Quicksilver Express goal, do a Quicksilver goal, and because those will create apps. And then look for Leaders Club and people you can raise up to Leaders Club and to ELC, because those will create vital signs. And when you move in those directions, at least that's what we've counseled to be able to do, and I think that will get you where you want to go. And then you've got your four steps for any strategic plan, regardless of what business you're in. The fourth lesson I think we can learn from Alexander the Great is to communicate your vision. Alexander pulled together his generals, he sat them down, and he said, this vision must be passed on to every single man in the army. Now, I encourage you to get with your people this weekend. This is not, as leaders, do not come here to relax. You know, you didn't get here and kind of go, okay, I did my job. This is where it begins, right? You need to work with your people, you need to work, you know, as Terry said, you need to meet with each person and hug them. And let them know how important and that how grateful you are that they're here. And we've got such great communication tools for high touch as the Genie and of course through email and Amvox here and letters and phone calls, but most importantly one-on-one for that high touch. And the relationships that Linda talked about, they're so vital, and as Bob says, you'll get the platinum on volume, but you'll get the diamond on relationships. And communicate through tapes and the books and the seminars. I mean, any way that we have through Network 21 to communicate will strengthen your vision with your group. And basically what we communicate is hope. It's hope for a better future, whether it's financial, whether it's through family or through leadership, but tomorrow that will, the hope that tomorrow will be better than today. And as Bob said, and I agree wholeheartedly, it just doesn't get any better than this. It just doesn't get any better than this. The final lesson I think we can learn from that story is to teach by example. That's what leaders do. Alexander was out in front. He wasn't behind in the ivory tower saying, go, guys, go, right? And when we were training for Vietnam, I mean, we were taught as leaders that when you wanted to take a hill, you didn't send the men up. You went up the hill, you took two grenades, and you said, these are going over my shoulders. I invite you to be with me. Not everyone going in the right direction, that's for sure. Leadership is not by position. You are here, as far as I'm concerned, because with leadership comes choice. You know, it is a choice, and it also comes with consequences. And you're here not because of a position. Here's why you're here. You're here because you succeeded and you failed enough to be here. That's it. You succeeded and you failed enough to be here. It's not because of the books necessarily or the tapes necessarily or the functions necessarily. It's because you went out and you did the work. And you had to have a bigger dream than everybody else. So I know that leaders fill voids. That's what Alexander did. He stepped up to the plate when no one else was prepared. And at the age of 19, he said, well, nobody else is going to do it. It better be me. And your choice as to whether you want to step up to the plate is up to you. And with coaching, I believe there's no doubt that anybody here should and needs to step up to the plate, because it doesn't get any better than it is right now. Good grief, right? And as somebody said last night, one eye is always on the leader. Isn't that true? So when your people come in here tonight, they're watching you. I just believe that leaders think differently. They aren't born, but they certainly think differently. They're looking to be somebody, as Mitch Salah says. And just a couple of thoughts to close with. These are things that I think, and you may not think these. I just find that the leaders that I've seen, read about, and look throughout history have these. Finish what you start. In other words, and as in the words of The Patriot, the movie The Patriot, stay the course. Just stay the course. You know, I've heard people say to Bob Andrews, well, I'm going diamond, and they're brand new in the business, and him say, let's talk in a year. Let's see where you are in a year, right? Let's see who the veterans are. Greatness, no matter how brief, stays with a man. Fight like there is no tomorrow for you. We've been in markets where there was no tomorrow. What we had to accomplish, I had to accomplish today. We get here in North America and we think there's always tomorrow. Immer mañana, that's cross between German and Spanish. You know, there's always tomorrow. Chicks dig the cars, but glory lasts forever. You know, isn't that true? You know, they do like the cars, but their glory lasts forever. And I believe that the difference between winners and losers is not the score. It's not simply the score. Here it is. Winners always want the ball when the game's on the line. Isn't that true? And that's why you're here. And I think there are sort of two kinds of people in the world. There are people you can count on and people you can't. The people who want to be counted on and the people who don't. And if you're in this room, I believe you want to be counted on. And I encourage you to simply go for your destiny and go diamond. We love you. Thanks.
This recording is the exclusive property of Network 21. Duplication is strictly prohibited.